I was in Bible college. I had to take 2 years of Greek in order to be given the pastoral degree. And those were two very painful years for me because I am a hillbilly from the woods of Kentucky, and just proper grammar is a challenge, let alone studying Greek. And one of the things that they had us do between our junior and senior year was to take the Textus Receptus and translate the Textus Receptus into English. Let me tell you, that was painful. One of the things that I did learn doing that is that the King James Version Bible is the pure Word of God.
Amen.
There is no doubt about that. Any and every time that my mind may have taken me a little bit differently, when I looked at the Koine Greek language, grammar, and the rules, it always said, Al Price, you are way wrong. The Bible is right. But the message that I learned within the book of 1 John is this. It's written to Christians who have been discouraged. They've been serving God for a very, very long time. And now they have lost their joy. And John, when he writes this passage of Scripture by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, his sole purpose is to bring back joy within the heart of a Christian life. Now, that's my goal here today. That's what God has placed upon my heart. All three messages today will have to do with spiritual joy. And I hope and pray that I'll be able to encourage you today.
Amen.
Look at 1 John chapter 1, and let's do our Sunday school lesson. I have about 40 minutes, 45 minutes here. And I pray that we can get through it. If we don't, it's okay. Okay, God knows best. Look at verse number 1, and notice what John says here. It says, that which was from the beginning, I'm glad Jesus has always been.
Amen.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now watch verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Amen.
That your joy may be full. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. And God, as the men prayed this morning, we ask your will to be done. God, King David once said, am I nothing but a flea? And Lord, I am certainly lesser man than King David would ever be. But God, you've placed your hand upon me and you've asked me to preach. And God, I just want to be a blessing to these dear, sweet folks and encourage them in the Lord this morning. Let your will be done. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I think, now I'm a simple-minded person, so stay with me. I think sometimes the hardest thing for me to do is to believe in something that I cannot see. The book of 1 John was written for the sole purpose to encourage Christians to return to their faith in Jesus Christ and to restore the joy within their soul. I want you to think right now within your heart the trials that you may be going through. When you have in the middle of a trial, it's hard to reach out and pray to someone you cannot see. When you're in the middle of your trial and your difficulty, it's hard to believe in something that you can't reach out and touch. When you're in the difficulty of that trial, it's hard to listen to a Holy Spirit that you can't hear, physically hear. Do you all understand what I'm saying this morning? Trials are hard. But let me encourage you this morning that Jesus Christ is the Word of life, and without Him we have no life any way, shape, or form whatsoever. And the entire purpose of this precious book is to encourage us to lean upon Jesus and have our joy restored within the Lord. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13 says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." John, within this passage of Scripture, I love it because the very first thing John does, he does not talk about his problems or problems that Christians are having. He takes the time to point everybody to the one who can take care of the problem, Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you this morning in the trial that you might be going through, it's time to look to Jesus again. In the difficulty where you're at, it's time to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Once again, you say, "Preacher, I'm saved." Amen, I am too. But it does not mean I'm not human. It does not mean that I don't struggle when trials come. It doesn't mean that I don't get discouraged or depressed or downhearted when a trial comes. You know, we're human and those things hit us face to face. And what I'm trying to say this morning, when those times come, what we need to do is let the Holy Spirit shine the light upon that proper path to where the joy can be restored within our hearts and our souls. I love what John says here. He lets us know that Jesus has always been eternal. Right. He lets us know that He is God. Amen. And if Jesus is eternal and He is God, I think without a shadow of a doubt, He knows exactly where Al Price is in the middle of the day, in the darkness of night, or whatever trouble might become my way. And if Jesus is God and He is eternal, and He is, He knows your troubles and your hardships as well. In fact, the book of John chapter 1 and verse number 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." I'm glad that Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down here and be flesh. You think about John when he writes this book. Look at verse number 1. It says, "That which we have heard and that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled in the word of the word of life." John was there, my friends, when Jesus died for our sins.
Amen.
John was there when they pulled his hands and his feet off of that cross. I should say when they pried his hands and feet off the cross. John was there when they carried our Lord's broken body to the tomb. Not his tomb, but a borrowed tomb. John was there the morning the stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
He's sitting on the right hand of God. And I love the fact that he is sitting on the right hand of God because the book of Revelation teaches us that's where Satan is, at the foot of God, accusing you and I day and night, 24 hours a day. And every single time that Satan crawls up before the throne of God and says, "Hey, God, this is what your servant Al Price is doing. You put your name in there."
Right. Amen.
Your servant Al Price, he's discouraged today. He's given up on you. You put your name in the block because you're no different than I am.
That's right.
Your servant Al Price, he sinned today. And I love it because God will look over at Jesus and Jesus will look at God and say, "God, Al Price, in your name, they've been washed in the blood. They belong to you." My friends, God is real and he's on the right hand of heaven today making intercession for you and I. We can't have our joy fulfilled knowing that we have a God that's still upon our side.
Amen.
Look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. Verse number 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which ye have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested," and underline these words in your Bible, "and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." If you take notes this morning, and I pray that you do, and I ask you to take notes because I want you to go home and revisit those notes. Go home and chew on the notes. Go home and meditate on the notes. Go home and pray over the notes and say, "God, show me what I need to learn from this passage of Scripture." Number 1, within my notes, God revealed himself in the flesh. I love that God came in the person of Jesus Christ and became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse number one, look at it. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled the word of life. John, letter A in my notes, I just give you my outline. John walked with God. John walked with God. The sole purpose of this little book is to restore the joy of your salvation within your heart. And you say, now, preacher, I have never lost joy of my salvation. And I'm going to very publicly and lovingly say this, liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay? Because if you are a Christian, you will lose the joy of your salvation from time to time. John says, I have heard him. He said in that verse, I have seen him. He said, I have looked upon him. He said, I've reached out and touched him with my very own hands. And John is saying in that verse, I want you to know that Jesus, your Savior, who died upon the cross, he is not dead. He is alive and he's in heaven today. And John was there, my friends. I love it because when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John was there when Jesus healed the blind. John was there when Jesus grabbed the lame man up and he walked again. John was there when he raised Lazarus from the dead. John was there when Jesus did so many miracles that at the end of verse John says he did so many things they could not be recorded in a book. That's right. John seen each and every one of them. John was at the foot of the cross. He was there when they slammed the crown of thorns upon our Savior's head and nailed him to the tree. He was there when Jesus said, I thirst. And somebody dipped a sponge in vinegar and handed it up to my Savior to drink. Could you imagine drinking vinegar in the thirstiest time of your life? John was there, my friends, when Jesus said it was finished. And John was the one who walked by the tomb and found the tomb empty. You see, John is teaching us this morning. Jesus is not dead and in that tomb anymore. Jesus is on the right hand of God. John says, I've looked at him, I've seen him, and I have touched him. And when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John after Jesus had arose from the grave, John was there and saw him after he arose from the grave as well. Amen. My friends, Jesus arose and ascended up into heaven and over 500 people saw him. My friends, the graves came open. Jesus is the man of, he is God. And John is saying this, hey, your joy can be restored because Jesus is alive. He knows what you're going through. He knows the difficulties there. Have joy in him. Look at verse number two, and I must hurry. For the life was manifested, and he says this, and we have seen it. Amen. And then he says, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Letter B, John witnessed God personally. John witnessed God personally. Jesus Christ, and I said this earlier and I say it again, has always been. Amen. He was here before this world was established. And now Jesus is being manifested unto man so that we might know who God is. And John is witnessing to every single person upon earth and letting us know that God is real. Amen? Yes. You see, a change took place in John's life after he met Jesus. A change should take place in my life and in your life after we meet Jesus. Amen. We should not remain the same as we did before we got saved. Stay with me underneath that statement right there. Christians today need to be patient with babes in Christ and give them room to grow. Amen. Because all the sins that this old country boy had when he first got saved, I just didn't get rid of all of them right away. I had to rub shoulders with brothers and sisters in Christ and learn how to live for the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
I had to spend time learning what was sin in my life and what was not sin in my life. Amen. But I'm thankful that as I stand right here today that I'm not the same Al Price as I was when I got saved in 1988. And I'm here to tell you today, I've not arrived yet. Because God is still showing sins in my life, perhaps those that I didn't even know were sin, that I still need to give and lay at His feet and say, God, correct me more. A man who says that he is without sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. Amen. We all have sins that we need to confess and give back to the Lord. And John is saying, I've seen Him, I've heard Him, I've watched Him, I've handled Him, and he wants us to know that Jesus is real. But you know what? John is not the only one that saw Jesus. Take your Bibles back a few pages to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse number 15. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15, Peter says this, Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Notice what he says, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. He saw them. Look, verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory where there came such a voice. Not only did he see, but he heard the voices of heaven come down upon Jesus and saying, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Did he not? Amen. Stay with me now. When he baptized, didn't the skies open up and the dove come down? And then they said that. Peter says, I have seen it. You see, my friends, Jesus is just not the figment of someone's imagination. Do you remember when he touched your heart and pricked your soul and convicted you of your sin? You fell upon your face and you said, Oh God, forgive me of my sins and I'm asking you to be my Savior. And the Holy Spirit came in. Remember how real it was that day? Well, these Christians here had Jesus real that day as well. But over time and difficulties and trials and the troubles that came, and they get down on their knees and pray, it seems like Jesus is far away. It seems like he may not actually be hearing and listening. I want you to know that Jesus is just as real today as he was the day that you accepted him in your heart. And he's there for you today just as he was that day you cried out with all your might and soul and said, Oh God, please save me. Look at verse number 3. It says, That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 2 within my notes. As Christians, we are responsible to declare Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me say that again. As Christians, we are responsible to declare Jesus Christ. Let me say that one more time because it's important. As Christians, we are responsible to declare Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Amen.
It's impossible. Listen to what I'm saying. I don't know how to say this right, so I'm going to do my best. It's impossible to truly know Christ if you're not declaring Him.
That's right.
He's in your heart. The Holy Spirit of God's pricking. Mm-hmm. And you know He's there. But it's impossible to truly know Him until you are declaring Jesus Christ. John had repented of his sins. Jesus Christ had become his Savior. Now, with that being said, how many here say, Preacher, I've repented of my sins. Preacher, Jesus Christ is my Savior.
Amen.
John's saying the same thing. He's saying the Holy Spirit of God's dwelling within my heart. Amen. Now, because of the joy that's within John's heart, now because he's falling deeper in love with Jesus than anything else in the world, now he is speaking out for Jesus because God's love is dwelling within his heart. Al Price, me, I have nothing to offer. Absolutely nothing. But the God who dwells within me, the love that has changed me from the person I once was to where I am now, that Holy Spirit of God who dwells within this temple has a whole lot to offer. And as the men prayed this morning in this room, all three of them basically the same thing. Lord, remove myself and let God have his way.
Amen.
Lord, remove myself and let God have his way. Oftentimes we put ourselves in front of the trial and the trouble and we forget about the one who is controlling it all. God wants to work in you and through you. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, help me this morning. A follower of Jesus Christ, it's impossible for a follower of Jesus Christ to be silent.
Yep. Amen.
Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Right.
You can be saved, but you may not be following Jesus.
Yep.
You can be saved and come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and may not be following Jesus. You can be saved and do all those things and read your Bible and praying every single day, but it doesn't mean you're following Jesus. Following Jesus is one that has a mouth that speaks out and declares, as John did here, the goodness and the glory and the love of God. Amen. My dad accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior in 1969. He was a nervous man. But my daddy, I don't care where he went, what he was doing, it did not matter where he was, he would tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
He hung sheetrock for a living. He was a country boy. I think my dad, if I remember correctly, I could be wrong, had a sixth or seventh grade education, but he hung sheetrock. And when he went to Bible college, guess who a sheetrock hanging man support was? Me. You all know that white mud? Okay, the white mud they put all over the walls.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dad not only hung the sheetrock, but he finished it. And back in the 70s, they had this little round brush with a pole on it. And Dad would roll that mud all over the ceiling, and I would take that pole and go like this, and it put a little bitty flower design all over the ceiling. People loved it back in the 70s. Well, here we are. We've been working all day long, and I'm covered in this mud because as you hit it, it splatters, it falls on you. Dad's hair is all white where he's sat. He's got mud all over him, and we pull up to a stoplight. A red light. And Dad jumps out of the car at the red light and grabs a bunch of tracks and starts going to the cars at the red light and handing them out invitations. You say, Al, what did you do as a 15-year-old boy? I went like this because it embarrassed the daylights out of me at the time. But my dad always, no matter where he was, thought about Jesus and lost souls. We went to Cracker Barrel when I was in Bible college, and the Cracker Barrel in the gift section side, they had this little parrot that was mechanical, and you'd say something to the parrot, and the parrot would repeat itself. Okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about? So here I am, and I'm standing there, and I see Dad, and there's a crowd around Dad. And Dad's over by that parrot. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's singing songs, he's quoting verses, and people are all around him. And the entire time he's handing out invitations to church.
Amen.
You see, we can, if we have the love of God in our hearts, we can speak out for Jesus. Amen. If we're saved, we just can't. And we have to talk about it because it's deep within our souls. In fact, look at Acts chapter 4. Hold your hands here in John and look at Acts chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. Acts chapter 4, look at verse number 19. When you get there, look up at me because I don't want to go too fast. I want to make sure everybody gets the word of God this morning. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse number 19. It says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. My friends, God's love burns within a Christian's heart.
Amen.
You cannot but speak about his love. I want you to think about in their day, we think about our trials, but think about the persecutions they went through. They were beaten. They were stoned. Some of them were thrown into lions' dens. Many Christians were impaled, dipped in wax, and burned as lights in the street just because they were Christians. Many Christians were ripped apart. The Bible talks about Christians being sawn asunder. Now, as a country boy, I didn't know what that meant. You're all more educated than I am, and you may know exactly what that means, but I didn't, so I looked it up. They would find a hollow log, and they would put the Christian in it and tie his hands out in the one side of the log and his feet on the other side of the log, and two men would get with a big saw and saw them in half. That's what our Christian brothers and sisters went through in the past. Some of them were even beheaded. And all through those things, they still loved God so much that they told others about Him and they spoke out about Him. You see, when we have God within our heart, no matter the trial that we're going through, it still burns within to tell others about Him, does it not?
Amen.
We see souls who are going to die and go to a Christless hell. It burns. We have to tell. And you say, now, preacher, I have a hard time telling people about the Lord. Let me step away from the pulpit here for a moment. And I'm going to talk as a man in the flesh. So do I. Look, when you look at me, I'm probably the most shy person in all the world. And it takes everything that I have to tell somebody about anything that I don't know. But when Jesus Christ saved my soul, there is something that starts at the tips of my toes and comes up from the inside through my heart, and it comes out of my mouth. I have to tell people about the Lord because
Amen.
It's inside.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with shyness. It has to do with what God has done within my life. He loved me enough to send the Holy Spirit to prick my heart over and over and over again until I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Bible teaches us in the book of Psalms that God reaches down into the miry clay and pulls us out and sets us upon the rock. And I'm thankful today that I'm set upon the rock of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you have those trials. We're going to talk about them more in the next hour. But we have those trials, but we can still be thankful for what God is doing in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. I can't wait for the eastern sky to open up. I can't wait for the trumpet to sound.
That's right. Amen.
I can't wait to see my daddy again who died 2 years ago.
That's good.
Mercy, I miss him. I miss hearing his voice and talking to him. He was my hero. But I will see him again.
Amen.
Look at verse number 3 and 4 and we'll be done, okay? It says, that which we have seen and heard, notice the words, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you realize that when you come here to church and you meet together, this is not in my notes, but when you come to church and you meet together, you love one another, there's no doubt.
Amen.
You count on one another, there's no doubt. You miss each other when you're not here in church. There's no doubt. You call each other on the phone and you encourage. Am I right? When somebody's sick, you take them food and you want to be a blessing to them or you send them a card. Am I right? Come on. But you know why that is? John gives the answer. For our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Because if it were not for God in your heart, you probably would not be here this morning. You wouldn't know each other, and you wouldn't be ministering to one another in the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Look at verse number 4. It says, and these things, all the things that I just mentioned, and these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. Number 3, and it's the last note this morning. Every child of God has been, I want to use the word drastically changed. Drastically changed. You can put dramatically changed there, but I like drastically changed. Amen.
Drastic for me.
Amen. It was for me too, brother, and I'm thankful for it. You see, I once walked in a life of sin. And I'm not always like Jesus Christ today, but I sure try to be.
Yeah.
I didn't have that desire before I got saved.
That's right. Amen.
But I sure have that desire right now in my heart.
Amen.
And as I try to walk in the likeness of Jesus Christ, I'm human, and sometimes my anger gets in the way. Sometimes my foot gets in my mouth. Come on, help me.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Sometimes I even on the way to church or walking in a church house and can't wait to hear the message of God's word, and somebody says or does something, I go, am I the only one? You know, that tells me that I'm human. I once walked in sin, but now I'm walking in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And as I'm walking in Jesus Christ and those times happen, God says, Alan, my son, I love you. You're still mine.
Amen.
Brother Mike Lester often said this in college, and let me quote it. This came from Brother Mike Lester. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. You see, you and I, we're not perfect. We once walked in sin. We're trying to live for Jesus Christ and walk in Jesus Christ right now, aren't we?
Amen.
But if we sin, we can't hold on to it.
That's right.
As soon as the Holy Spirit says, son, daughter, you just did this and God's not pleased, it's at that time, at that very moment, to say, God, please forgive me for that sin right there. Right now. Don't harbor it. Don't hold on to it. Don't wait till you get home. Don't wait a few days down the line. Do it right now, because if you do it right now, your joy can be restored.
Amen.
If you hold on to it, it's like an acid in a steel can. It's going to eat the bottom out and you're going to lose that joy. Amen. Am I right?
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll be done here in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verse number 9. Let me fold my Bible there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad those things can't inherit the kingdom of God. I don't want to be around people that are like that. I don't want to live in neighborhoods like that. I don't want to have friends who are like that. But God's not through with these words here. Look at verse number 11. And such were some of you. Mm-hmm. Underline those words, because the previous verse describes Al Price before he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Amen. The previous verses described you before you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Look at verse number 11. And such were some of you. Praise God, listen to this. But ye are washed.
Amen.
But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by His Spirit of our God. I praise the Lord today that although I was all of those things in history past, and I might still even struggle with them one or two.
That's right.
I've been washed in the blood.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I've been sanctified.
Amen.
The great God of heaven sent His Holy Spirit to raise Jesus Christ up out of the grave.
Amen. Praise God.
The great God of heaven who sent the Holy Spirit to raise up Jesus Christ out of the grave. That same Holy Spirit dwells within you at this
Amen.
Very moment.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And He gives you the power to overcome those sins and past life. He gives you power to overcome the difficulties, the trials, and the sins that you may be going through at this very moment, because He is God.
Amen.
Think about it. You have God dwelling within you. And if you're going through a trial right now, and the odds are 80 to 90% of the people in this room are, if they would be honest. And if you're going through a trial right now, is God in your heart? Come on.
Amen.
Then God is in the midst of that trial with you at this very moment. The title of the message Jesus is real.
Amen.
And he dwells within you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the teaching and the reading of your word this morning. And I pray that it was a blessing to these dear people. God, I don't know about them, but I sure needed it. Lord, prepare our hearts for the next hour. Use us so that we can minister to others. And Lord, the trials that we might be going through, help us to see you in them and through them and with us. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's 1:45. I got done on time.